Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker, Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. I am Skip LaCour, and in this special series of bodybuilding and fitness podcast, I am bringing to you the most interesting and passionate people in bodybuilding and fitness. I have a special guest today. I'm really excited to learn all about his story. His name is Zach King Khan. He is an IFBB professional bodybuilder, winning the 2009 British Bodybuilding Championship. He's a gym owner. He has a gym, ZKK, or in England, ZKK Underground Gym in Sheffield. All right. And he's now promoting a supplement line with his own namesake, ZKK Research. He's got all the bases covered. And what really impressed me about Zach is he lets his personality flow. He is real. Actually, you know, his motto is be you, be real, be true, be loyal, be motivated, and interestingly, be hated. And that has really resonated with a lot of fans, where there are a lot of IFBB professional bodybuilders out there with great physiques and great titles. Zach has really connected with the fans. He's so popular with the fans, has drawn so much attention. And I really want to talk to him about how he developed this personality and this fan base. And maybe there's things that we can learn and we can take home with us and kind of adopt into our personalities, become better at what we do. So welcome to the show, Zach Khan. How are you today, sir?
Thank you, Skip, for having me. And like I said, it's here in the UK. It's late, but you know what? Once I got that email from you saying you wanted to interview me, I thought, hell, why not? You know, before the situation was, I was under contract by certain magazines, and you know, and then you can't really do open interviews with other companies. So it's good to know that I'm freelance now, and I can do and be interviewed by anybody who I want. So this is cool.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it. I know all the listeners are going to appreciate it. They get to know you in a different way. I'm gonna ask you some questions again to learn what makes you you. You know, you talk about that the bodybuilding and how they constrict and who you can talk to. I mean, that totally goes against, you know, how you created this name for yourself. Tell me, what do you think is behind the way you've resonated with so many people? And it's, you know, you've got this massive, awesome physique. Hell, you've reached IFBB professional status. You're the British champion, right? But it goes far beyond that. And I think you realized this a long time ago. Tell me about that.
Basically, I was growing up as a kid and looking in these flex magazines and looking at these guys, you know, larger than life, you know. And, you know, when you're young and you're looking at these physiques, you're thinking, oh, my God, you know, this is out of this world. You know, you're never going to be able to achieve this. Uh-huh. You know, I never did it. I never looked at these magazines to think, oh, yeah, one day I'm going to be in this magazine. No, it was just a hobby. I used to like watching action movies. I used to like action figures, any figures with muscles, you know, cartoons. I was just fascinated by muscly physique, you know? Uh-huh. I think my parents were getting worried at one bit. I was probably gay.
Well, looking at all your social media, I think that you're the antithesis, just the opposite of gay. But anyway, that's another story. Maybe we'll get into that.
but you know, there's nothing wrong with people.
Right, right, right. Of course.
I respect everybody's sexuality.
Right, no, of course.
I've got gay friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was just funny because, you know, growing up as a kid, and I always wanted action figures with muscles on them, like, you know, Incredible Hulk and Superman and stuff like this, and used to, like, look in comic books, and I just fascinated by it. And I remember, like, first time when I actually saw somebody who had muscles was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it was like, damn, who is this guy? I didn't think, you know, it could be achieved. And from there, like, you know, growing up as a kid, watching action heroes like Stallone, Van Damme, you know, in the 80s, you know, when I was growing up in the 90s, everybody, action heroes had muscles. It's not like nowadays,
right,
where they're all like torn down. There's not really any muscle-bound superheroes. And, you know, action heroes, it's like now we have The Rock, Vin Diesel. Everybody is like a torn-down version of the action heroes from the 90s and 80s,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it's like the bodybuilding seems like it's dying out and the mainstream look is coming in. And I think that's where the men's physique class has hit off a lot.
Right, definitely.
Because it's given hope to a lot of people who think, I'm never going to be a freak, you know what I mean? So this is something I can aim for and achieve, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's good for people like that. But for me, like, even if I was getting into bodybuilding now, I don't think I could look at a men's physique
and
think, wow, that's who I want to look like. You know?
Well,
what
I've seen some early pictures of you. You seem to have the genetic potential right away. Now, what age were you when you started weight training?
Like I said, I always did a bit of weights when I did boxing at the age of, you know, 15, 16.
Okay.
You know, like we used to do sparring, bag workout, and then when the session used to finish, we used to basically just go to the weights. We used to have some barbell and dumbbells in the corner of the boxing gym.
Uh-huh.
And just used to do some dumbbell curls, barbell curls, and some bench press, and it was nothing major. And it just seemed like my body, like, responded nicely to the weights as well. So I remember getting injured in a sparring match, and my shoulder, I dislocated it, and I had to have some time off boxing. And then I remembered, like, I was advised to strengthen my shoulders up. So I joined a weight training gym, and I started doing some weight training for 6 months. And I stopped the boxing for that time.
Uh-huh.
And I responded so well to the weights that I enjoyed it more than I stopped doing boxing. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And that's where my book came from. And, you know, then I walked past a magazine shop and I saw my first bodybuilding magazine. And that was a Muscle Mag with Arnold Schwarzenegger on the front cover.
Uh-huh.
Concentration
yes.
curl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like it was doing one of them poses, and I was just like shocked. I'm thinking, I've got to get this magazine. And I remember I couldn't afford the magazine. So, like you do when you're a 15 year old kid, you steal it.
Right, right. Thanks, Arnold. Right. Yeah. Well, okay. So you were 15 years old, and so how long have you been training to this point in time, total?
Like I said, you know, beginning of my career, it was never like bodybuilding training. It was mostly boxing.
Right.
And I got more into the weight training side of stuff when I was 18.
18,
you know? So,
okay.
Yeah, probably like I knew that you had to do split body parts and stuff like this. And, you know, it's like, you know, we didn't internet was just kicking off then. It wasn't like we could go on the internet and copy people on YouTube and stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
It's like only advice I could get was from people in the gym, and people who were bigger than you in the gym, you would watch what they do.
Right.
And you would try to mimic what they're doing. And it's like, it seems like, you know, a lot of people don't.
Unless you stole a lot of magazines, though, right, Zach?
No, just that one.
Right, okay. Uh-huh. So how many years have you, at this point now, have you been training? 18 is when you started. How old are you now?
Yeah, I'm 34 now. Okay. So, you know, we're talking. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So so did someone approach you and say, "Wow, you should do one of these bodybuilding contests," or did you set your sights on that yourself?
No, I used to just train in the gym, and the gym where I went to, the gym owner was into bodybuilding, and he used to hold a competition once a year, and I remember like about 2 months from the show, like I joined the gym. And he saw me like responding so well and everything, and he's going, "Oh, you should enter my show." I'm like, well, "What do I need to do that?" I didn't know bodybuilding was about wearing posing trunks and right. going on stage and doing posing routines. You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't know that side of it. So I go. Then he showed me a video of some bodybuilding competition. I went, "Hell no. I ain't doing that. That's gay. All the men."
Not that there's anything wrong with that, right? No.
Yeah.
But what you mean is that something you refer to a lot, pussy boys, you know, that that's the way you saw it,
so
right?
Yeah. I thought, no, this ain't for me, you know. Like, I go, it's not manly enough and stuff like that. But,
right.
But the thing about it was just like, the bad thing about it was he showed me a local show of people posing. But when I saw a video of, like, a Mr. Olympia on stage, it was a different story.
Yeah,
I was like,
okay.
Holy damn, these guys are out of this world. This is like, this is an art, you know what I mean?
Right, the level of professionalism and the polish that they had really made it something worth going for in your mind. Yeah,
so watching the Olympia, Mr. Olympia at that time, I was motivated to. Then that's when I thought, yeah, I want to do this competition. But when he just showed me a local show, and them people don't know how to pose properly, and you know the beginners, amateurs themselves, it wasn't something what really got me motivated to compete. But also, like, he kept on bugging me to enter his show. And he goes, "Listen," he goes, "you know," he goes, "I know that, you know, you're not working, you're finding it hard to come to the gym because you're only coming to the gym once a week or maybe twice the most." And he goes, "You know what, if I'll let you train at the gym as many times a week you want, and, you know, if you enter my show."
Uh-huh.
And it was an offer that I couldn't really refuse because I wasn't working, I was just a student, you know what I mean, low on money. And, you know, so I thought, why not, I'll give it a go. And I remember entering the show. And I won my first show. It was like crazy. I don't know if I just got the buzz from there and got the book. And it was no looking back from there then.
Right, right. Yeah, and you achieved so much as a IFBB professional bodybuilder. It's interesting. You know, I think it's your personality that makes you so huge in the sport. It's created your fan base. But the fact of the matter is you have an amazing physique. What's so admirable to me is when you came back from your injury to come back and hang out there with the best in the world. I don't know if you get all the credit you deserve for the accomplished bodybuilder that you are because your personality is so big. What do you think about that?
I think, you know, the problem is, you know, people don't realize how bad my injury was, you know what I mean? Because they don't realize that I tore both of my quadricep tendons off. And 6 months later, I found out the operation wasn't done correct. So instead of doing both of the legs at the same time again, they had to do one leg first. So they did the right one, reattached it, and then they did the left one 6 months later. So it was the best part of 2 years of my life where I was coming in and out of a bad place because as soon as I started going back to the gym and I was doing well, then I had to go back to hospital and get the operation rectified.
Yeah.
Because what happened was the doctors, when they reattached my tendon, you have to think of it as like an elastic band. And the elastic band, once it snaps, it basically gets longer than what it normally is. So instead of them cutting a bit of it off to shorten it back to the normal length again, they reattached it just as normal.
Ah.
So that's why I was having problems doing leg extensions because I couldn't lock my legs fully. And when I was walking, I kept on buckling at times because I was feeling unstable, you know. So it was like, you know, I just thought to myself, everything happens for a reason, you know.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, Zach, I first connected with you, and I'm wondering if that's when you really took off on a global scale, is when you documented your journey back, your rehabilitation. Is that when you really took off? Is that when people really started noticing you?
Yeah. What happened was I just got a sponsor by Nutrex. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so they signed me up being the next underground freak. Uh-huh. And I remember I got injured, and I told them, like, I've got injured. I phoned them up from hospital, and they said, listen, don't worry about it. We're still here for you, so chill. When you get back home and whatever happens, happens, you know what I mean? So that was good to know. Then I told Flex Magazine the same thing, and obviously they weren't very happy, so a month later after that they ended my contract. But business is business, so right. I understand that, right. And I don't take it personal, you know what I mean?
Sure. Well, you definitely turned a negative event into something that launched your career to the next level, right?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, getting the injury and everything like that, and it was a big negative in my life. And, you know, when a magazine company drops you, you know, it does like rub salt into the wound.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the main thing was my main sponsors were still there for me. So that felt okay, good, a bit reassuring. They believed in me. So what happened was, it's like nobody really knew me that much before the injury.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't know who I was. You know, they knew that this freak from the UK is going to come over and compete with us and stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
So it's good to be known as the underground freak. That was the campaign. You know, use my image for,
uh-huh.
you know, for the, you know, because I got that underground look about my body and stuff like that. So that was the campaign Nutrex was using and capitalizing on, which was great, you know. And, you know, from there, like, when the injury happened, you know, I just said to Nutrex, I go, listen, you know, I feel bad. I feel like, you know, this is injuries happened. I'm not really, because there's nothing really I can do. But I was just thinking to myself, how about documenting my injuries and, you know, what I'm going through and stuff like this, some little blogs a week-by-week basis,
uh-huh.
and see what happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And call it Road to the Recovery. Because I am definitely going to get back on stage. There's no question about it. And they said, yeah, okay, let's just do whatever you want to do. So we're happy, you know. So I started doing the blogs, and obviously I didn't realize they're going to be such a hit. And people started warming to me and basically seeing where I was coming from. And I really, like, you know, related to a lot of people,
yes,
who have had injuries, who've been through hard times, and basically they see me, the underdog, coming back. And, you know, it's good to be an underdog, because you know that the wolf from bottom of the hill is always hungrier than
right,
the top
right,
of the hill.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you're, and, you know, and that was my motto, and yeah, I took it each day as it came.
Yeah, I think it definitely resonated. And that the image that you created and all the fans that you connected with is why Flex Magazine came to you back even more than your physique. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah. My image took over more than my physique and my noble attitude. So that was good. It's basically, I just felt like, you know what? I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. This is who I am. You
yeah.
know, no point trying to be somebody else, because if they don't like you for who you are, then nobody's going to really like you. You can't warm to everybody, you know. And one thing I've learned in life is that you can't please everyone. And if you try to please everybody, then only the person who's going to be suffering is you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no,
so
I definitely.
Basically, you want to attract people around you who feel the same way, who think the same way, who got the same mindset. You don't want people, you know, smiling in your face and behind your back talking shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
The type of people, you know, it's like this when I was in hospital. I remember I got my pro card. I had so many people around me every weekend going out, partying and stuff like that. Once I had my injury, people thought my career was over. You know how many people came to hospital to see me? Maybe five.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Out of all the people who I know. And then it's funny that, you know, then my Road to Recovery blog come back and people see I'm coming back again. All of a sudden, start getting messages again from people. Oh, yeah, we should go out. We should hang out. Oh, everything's great. You know, people like that, I'm not interested. So it was a good life lesson knowing that, you know who the people are there for you, and mainly that's family, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, be loyal is something you talk about all the time.
Yeah, it's all about being loyal, you know, and, you know, loyalty is a big thing because I had so many opportunities to move away from New Trex and go with other companies and stuff like that, but I didn't because I felt like, you know what, I owed them a big part of my life because they believed in me. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to be loyal to them. Doesn't matter, you know, if some other company does offer me better and stuff like that, but which companies did offer me a lot better, you know, package. But, you know, like I said, we got to the point where me as an athlete started growing more than the company did. You know what I mean?
Right,
more people knew me. And the new New Trex. It's like, you have to remember, New Trex had athletes like Marcus Ruhl, Dennis Wolf, Troy Alves, and none of these guys really put New Trex on the map until I came along.
Yes.
And you know, so, you know, it's funny, like, you know, now, like, I'm doing my own company thing, you know, ZKK Research. It's like people are thinking, oh, wow, I've left New Trex and stuff like that. People have to realize that it wasn't about leaving New Trex or anything like that. Once it comes to a point where you believe you've done enough for the company to pay them back and they've done enough for you,
right?
It comes to the point where you look at what direction the company is taking. So basically, I was the underground brand, yeah, underground range. I was the underground monster. So they started going more into the physique side of the industry, going for the pretty boy look, going right. for the bikini girl, for the rough and ready underground image. They was getting rid of that. You know what I mean? I saw the change in the company happening. You know what I mean?
I do.
So, yeah. So some reason, you know, they believed that was the right direction to
sure.
go.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
And like you said, you respect everybody's business decision. And I think what is so awesome about that is the strong loyalty that you had to them. But at the same time, while respecting their decisions, you have to do what's best for you too. And finding that balance might have been a challenge for you.
It's like, you know, you have to remember, it doesn't matter how loyal you are to a company or how loyal you are as a person. It comes down to one thing, and that is you will always be a number to them.
Uh-huh.
Nothing else. You know, you will always be a number to a company who you're employed by. So never think to yourself that, you know, you cannot be replaced. You can be replaced. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the thing about it is, in my decision and in my situation, with me, it was totally different because end of the day, it was it. Now, I had to do what was best for me. And for the best thing for me was I had to keep the underground image of me living on. And that's where what happened was basically I thought, you know what, they're moving in a different direction. Great. Good luck to them. I'm going to stick to the direction what made Zach Khan and who I am and stay loyal to my friends because I can't be doing the pretty boy look. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right, right. Yeah. Well, Zach, we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to break down that life philosophy that you have, that business strategy, in a way that our listeners can take that home with them and anything they do. So, Zach, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
Okay, no problem.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. So you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health, when you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis. Go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.
We are back with IFBB professional bodybuilder, the 2009 British bodybuilding champion, Zach Kahn. Also, he has his own gym that I want to talk about. Sounds like a hardcore gym that can really that really matches his image, the ZKK Underground Gym in Sheffield. So, Zach, you were talking about your story, and you were talking about how you turned a negative situation, then that's your injury, into such a positive thing that really connected with people when you documented you coming back from that injury. And I think that, you know, what's interesting is that journey back, as you talk about it, it's a lot more amazing than I think people really understand. But you talk about that loyalty with Nutrex that you had for them, and then you going off to create your own supplement company. I don't know if you how much you follow the internet outside of your fans, but you know, I noticed that on one of the websites, one of the major gossip websites, it talked about, you know, Nutrex dropped you, and they talked about I think that on some of these negative bodybuilding forums, you know, they're in that they say they love bodybuilding, but actually they like to see bodybuilders fail, right? And I think they got the whole thing mixed up that Nutrex dropped you. And so I think it's great that you clear that up, is that, you know, you were loyal to them, you built this huge image, and then you just made a business decision that was best for you. And I think they can see now with your own launching of your own company that this was obviously planned for a while. It was a well thought out plan. So talk about that.
Yeah, the thing about it is like this. You know, when you're working for a company and you're doing everything you have to do for them, uh-huh. and when you don't even get no gratitude from the boss and for what you've done for the company, uh-huh. I think, you know, it's either that the boss is either thinks he's too good for the employees to speak to them, or he basically feels that as his position, he doesn't have to answer to anybody else.
Right, right.
So you know, people change, companies change, tactics change. So that's what I always say to people. It's like, I want people to know that, you know, me, I'm loyal. I was loyal to Nutrex to the end. But the problem was, they were not loyal to me. Uh-huh. That's the thing. When a company is slowly getting rid of your image and moving direction without telling you, without sitting you down and making you feel comfortable, saying, Zach, oh, we're getting rid of the underground image, but don't worry, this is where you fit into the company. Or, Zach, we're getting rid of hemorrhage, but don't worry, this is where you fit into the company. Uh-huh. But when you're not reassuring your athletes,
right,
then basically you have to, as a man, need to start making decisions and think to yourself, okay, this is my plan B now. This is what I need to do to cover my back. I am not going to let a company not renew their contract with me because, and then I'm left thinking about what do I need to do? Because if I'm not getting no response from a company, from the owner, or any of the managers, then there is a problem. There's a big issue.
Right, and right.
That is not giving me no reassurance.
Right.
You know?
Oh,
it
yeah.
It only takes 2 seconds to email to somebody and say, thank you, Zach. You made the front cover of Flex magazine. Thank you, Zach. You did awesome in your pro debut. You know?
Uh-huh.
It's just little gratitudes like that motivate an athlete to go further for the company. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean, Zach. Yeah. My situation was similar, so...
Yeah, so I just thought to myself, okay, this is what I'm going to do. The things what I put into my training, to my road to recovery, that's what I'm going to do for my supplement range. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh, right.
I've got a good backer who are willing to for me to have hands-on with everything and make good decisions. So basically, who would be stupid to turn this opportunity
sure,
down?
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, you know, people are going to be negative no matter what. They can say whatever they want. Whether I got dropped or not dropped, the main matter of the fact is you don't see me sitting here without a contract. You see me here talking to you, Skip, with my own company, ZKK Research.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great story. And I'll tell you, Zach, you know, the great thing about podcasting, hearing your voice, hearing you speak, and explaining your feelings and emotions. I mean, number one, you're such a passionate guy. It's obvious. But you can't see that when you just see all this amazing physique and the muscles. And I tell you, I really hear it from you that, man, you want to do everything you could to make that relationship work. You can tell that loyalty is such a big part of who you are until you just had to make that decision. I'm glad that you explained that to the people out there so they can understand your situation.
People need to realize, like, listen, I never turn my back on anyone. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like people will come out with stupid stuff like, oh, Nutrex did so much for Zach. No, Zach did so much for Nutrex. Remember, nobody knew who Nutrex was in the UK or in the European countries. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But not as much as they do now.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And I thought to myself, like, you know, if I'm not getting no gratitude for what am I doing, then, and I'm not getting no response from anybody, then why am I banging my head against a brick wall for?
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously I'm not being appreciative for what I'm doing, so it's time to move on. And that was the only choice I was left with.
Yeah.
So basically, when you're left with no other choice and you're backed into a corner, then basically you have to be a man and do your thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I wish you the best of luck, and I'm going to take all your fans with you.
We all got to hustle, and we all got to make a living.
Right.
And I just thought to myself, throughout the years, what I've done for this company and how much I've earned for this company, imagine I do the same thing for myself now, and let's see how much I can earn for myself.
Right.
With nobody to answer to nobody to speak to. And you know what? Let's just see how it goes. And basically, I think the best thing could have ever happened when you see somebody's true colors, you know, because sooner or later people see it. Like I say, you know, in life, friendships are mostly based on what you can do for your friends. Once the handouts stop, and that's when the phone calls and the text messages will stop. That's the problem. There's not many friendship bases. It's based on just being friends and being there for each other. You know, it's all about what you can do for each other. That's the sad thing. We live in the society.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, Zach, my story is very similar to yours. I have my own supplement company, too. I was with the company for a very long time. I felt a lot of the same things as you did. And so I want to, and then, you know, I starting my own company, actually, it's interesting. A friend of mine just sent me some page out of some magazine or some website or whatever it was from, and it was Henry Romboyd. And he talked about how he bought this one protein powder because Skip LaCour did way back in the day, right? And I know what you're talking about. Your influence, you know, you create this mutually beneficial relationship. I want to talk more about that, though, because I see this on YouTube. I see a lot of things in fitness, right? And you're a great person to those fitness personalities out there, how they manage and plan out their career. Because, see, the way that I see it is, you know, at the beginning with Nutrix, their money and their avenues, it helped you out. And then then you brought your personality, then it became mutual, and then it may become one-sided, right? A lot of these YouTubers, they want to skip past the opportunity to, like, work with a company that already has inroads everywhere, right, to put your face out there. They want to skip right past that and right to making their own money. I mean, the Hodge twins, I don't know. I know you're a big YouTube. You're big on the internet, big on YouTube. I don't know. Do you know who the Hodge twins are?
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, they've done a great job themselves without being bodybuilders, without being with supplement companies. And they talk about skipping that step. Don't be earning money for other companies. And I wonder that I know the way you feel now, but how would you suggest a guy who's starting out so he doesn't feel that way? I mean, is there a point where you kind of have to take that at the beginning, and then when you're ready, do you go? I mean, how would you? What advice would you give? Business advice?
Yeah, basically, if I could go back in time again and say, and think of me signing a contract for a supplement company, I would do it again, no problem. Yeah, but what I would learn from it is this time, loyalty. There is no loyalty between you are an athlete, and they will get rid of you once they have used you. No matter who you are, look at Ronnie Coleman, signed with BSN. He won 8 Mr. Olympias for them. So you tell me something. If they can get rid of Ronnie Coleman, they can get rid of you, who hasn't even won nothing. So remember, it doesn't matter how good a company treats you from the beginning, how well they look after you. It's like a relationship with a woman or whoever, a guy. When you're in that relationship and you're in that bubble, everything's great. You don't see the signs. And once you're out of that bubble and that relationship's ended, then you see the person for truly what they were.
Right.
Everything starts to add up. Everything rings a bell. But by that time, it's too late because everything's happened and you've seen them for their true colors now. But it's too late to go back in time, isn't it? But you just have to use the experience and knowledge what you've gained.
Yeah.
And basically not make the same mistake twice. You know, like I say, I'm a great believer in everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I never look back on anything thinking, why me? Well, I'm not the bitter type of person. I'm a positive person. I look forward and make things happen. You know, when I got injured in the hospital, people were more depressed for me, some of them. I go, chill. I go, don't worry. I'll be walking again and I'll be training again. And they're like looking at me like I'm crazy.
Uh-huh.
I go, no. I go, listen, the only reason I got injured is because I've been training for so long, put my body through hell. And it's God's way of only saying, listen, Zach, you need a rest. You need to rest your body. You need to recuperate. You need to charge, recharge. And this is the only way you could make me, it was to rest my body by really both of my tendons being snapped so I could lay.
Right.
In bed. So, you know, I look at everything as a positive. It's not, you know, like I said, it was hard, yeah. But, you know, we all have them dark days. But yeah. I always say, like, what's the point making them days even darker and last longer? You know, even if you're making small steps every day, them small steps after a year are going to look like one giant step, you know?
Right. Well, let's go back in time. How did you develop this hustler mentality? This determined mentality. You know, let's go back to what did you know? You talked about you've been working out since 15. You really started bodybuilding at 18, right? What did that do for your life at that time? How did that form your personality? What was it like growing up for Zach? Tell me about. Did you have brothers and sisters? Do you have a good stable family life? Tell me how it was for you at the beginning.
Yeah, like I said, you know, my parents weren't rich. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, you know. My dad just worked in a factory. He was a steel worker. And, you know, he was just a normal person. My dad hustled for us as kids to get an education. And I thank my dad you know, for him to do what he did for us as a family and get me through school, college, and I got through university. You know, a lot of people don't realize that bodybuilding, yeah, I am a bodybuilder, but I have a degree. I did have a job working for the government in the UK.
Oh, really?
As an employment officer. So, you know, these are the things people like look at you and they think, oh my God, he's fucking big, he's dumb, he looks dumb, he sounds dumb. But, you know, I've heard it all before. It's like, it's the funniest thing about it is it's like we live in a society where people think they're going to get a gold medal to pick out faults in people. And it's so funny. You know a person's weakness straight away when they look and they judge you before they even know you. You know that person is insecure.
Right.
You know that person is weak. So before I even walk in a room and I know people are talking shit about me, I know basically I won the argument already, because whether they're talking about me in a good way or a bad way, they're thinking about me. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like I always say to people, it's like, if you got me in your heart, you love me. If you got me in your head, you hate me. Either way, I don't give a fuck, you know?
Right,
Basically, like, too many insecure people in this industry and in life in general. It's like, I don't see the point why people have to go around bashing other bodybuilders and bashing other people. They have too much spare time on their hands.
right.
Yeah, I just think to myself, it's like, you know, I've heard everything before, but you know, when I first got my pro card and some of the comments I saw on these web forums, and I was like, holy shit, because they're talking about me like that. They're saying I'm ugly, I look like this, I look like that. And I'm thinking, man, you know, like, I've shocked. Like, I never heard of this type of stuff. Last time I heard of it, when I was in school, like, you know, crap, like, people calling you names, like, kids, somebody saying, oh, yeah, he's got big ears, let's call him Dumbo. Or he's got a big nose, let's call him Concord. It was that type of kids, what kids would talk about in school playgrounds.
Right.
And I was shocked, and these are adults, you know what I mean? Obviously, they're not adults. They're just kids sat in their mum's basement, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just got too much spare time on their hands, talking trash, basically trying to look cool in front of their mates, saying, oh, yeah, I just talk shit about this IFBB pro. Ha, ha, ha. They think it's cool. It's like fun for them, but...
Well, what makes it more fun is when the IFBB professional bodybuilders take the bait and get back, get into that with them, huh?
Yeah, it's like it's funny. It's like when somebody talks crap about me, I will talk it back about them tenfolds and where it hurts. And then they're like shocked, thinking, oh, I used to be your fan, but you're so rude. Yeah, frankly, if you was a fan in the first place, you wouldn't be talking to me with disrespect. And why does my looks about me bother you so much? The only person it should be bothering is if I couldn't pull a woman, and I don't have no problems in that department at all.
Yeah, so, I see that on social media.
So, you know, it's laughable. It's like, you know, be yourself, because the day when you start being yourself, that's the day you're going to be free.
Right.
You know, like I said to you, it doesn't matter what you post, somebody's not going to like it. It's like if you have your top off in a certain way, they're going to say, oh, that doesn't look manly enough. You do certain thing, oh, I thought you could eat more. Or if you lift it a certain way, oh, you got bad form. People will always give negativity to people who are doing well. So, you know, you just have to learn to blank it out and think about positive.
Right.
Because if you believe everything what people say over the internet, I'm sorry, but you're not going to get very far in life.
Well, I think that's the message. I think that resonates, is that, you know, you're encouraging people to be real, be raw, be authentic.
Yeah, because, you know, the problem is a lot of people over Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, they can act like who they want. But when you meet them in person, they don't even know how to talk to somebody. You know, the thing is we've lost the art of communication because of technology. It's like, I remember when I was young, if I wanted to talk to a hot girl, I would walk up to her in a club. I wouldn't have a Lamborghini parked up outside. I would just have me and my physique to do the talking. Nowadays, guys will message any hot girl because they know they sat behind a phone and they can message that hot girl or 1,000 girls. And out of them 1,000 girls, one of them or five of them are going to fall for the bait and talk to you. But yeah, in real life, none of these guys would approach these hot girls. They'd be too intimidated.
Well, tell me, go back in time. Tell me, how did you develop that as a younger man, right? Or were you always like that? Or did it come, you know, with the
physique?
Like
I said to you, like I said to people, is like, it doesn't matter whether I'm 300 pounds or I'll be 100 pounds. I would be the same way.
Right.
Just because I got this muscle doesn't make me more confident.
No, I understand. But I guess what I'm trying to find out is, where did that come from? Was there some event where you said, who cares, back when you were 15? Did you have a father that really preached that to you? How did that develop into your personality?
I don't know. It's weird because I always believed, like, I could never please everybody. I was, you know, like, you know, I'm a kind person, I'm a loving person, and I'm a giving person. But, you know, when people take them traits for granted, then you have to put your foot down and say, listen, this is the way it's going to be now.
Right.
So, you know, as soon as you put your foot down, that's when people don't like it. Like I said to people, everybody's happy while you're giving away free advice. But as soon as you start asking for money for it, that's when you see what happens. You know what I mean?
I do.
Everybody wants everything for free. And I learned that at a very young age. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you have to have known that, like, when you were 15 and you would just approach that girl, that you were very unique in that situation. That wasn't, or maybe you,
no,
all
it's
the
like, don't get me wrong. I approach women and they would laugh at me.
Uh-huh.
I say, oh my god, no way, you're not wearing fucking, you know, designer clothes. I'm wearing like a $5 top. You know what I mean?
But, well, I guess I'm wondering is, how did he get that? Because that's what, you know, what people want to know. Where did that come from? They want to learn. I mean, they hear you speak the words, and I think that intellectually they agree with it. But I'm trying to find out, you know.
It's like I remember somebody told me once something. I remember I was in a nightclub at the age of 16, and we couldn't go into clubs until we were 18. But because I looked a lot older than I was, so I used to hang about with the older kids. And I remember seeing this one guy. He was a doorman. He was a big guy, cool guy. And I looked at him, and I used to see the way, like, you know, sometimes you just observe somebody and they stand out from everybody else. And I remember, like, you know, we come into the nightclub and everything, and the way he was, like, going up to every girl saying, oh, you're all right? Do you need a drink? And the way he was so confident and everything.
Right, right.
And I just went up to him, and I was just like, how do you do it?
And
tell me the secret. He goes, listen, there is no secret. He goes, listen, if you say hi to a woman and a woman can't say hi back, then forget that bitch.
He goes,
there's only two. If you say hi to somebody, a woman has to say hi back to you. You're not being rude. You're not being an asshole. So what type of man does she want? So obviously, if you're going to go up to a girl and say, yo, baby, back that ass up, and she listens to that, then obviously that's not the type of girl you want as a girlfriend material or wife material. So, you know, these are the type of things you have to realize. The way you approach women, certain ones are going to be classy and certain ones are going to be trashy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
And the only way you're going to find out that is by talking to them. You can't stand in a corner all night and not say nothing. He goes, my motto has always been, those who wait must debate.
Yeah, right, right. Well, you know, it sounds like you ran into the right person at the right time. Other people out there aren't as fortunate to see that, have that influence, have someone make that impact on them. And it was a great age to get that.
It was just like a 5 minutes conversation. And
well, it sounds like you really locked in and observed him too, right?
I just thought, you're just cool. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just thought, this guy's loving life. He's loving his job. He's smiling. And you know, when you're smiling and enjoying, people want to be around a person like that. Nobody wants to be around a depressing, morbid person sat in the corner.
Right.
It's like, you know, you can be whoever you want to be over the net, but when it comes to meeting the person in a reality, that's when you know it's going to be make or break. You know what I mean?
I do. Hey, Zach, we're going to take a quick break. And, you know, I really feel as that, like that doorman who had that impact on you and has kind of changed the direction of your thinking, which changed the direction of your life that you're utilizing today. I know you're having that impact because of putting yourself out there on social media. So you talk a lot about manhood and then the opposite of that, pussy boy mentality. I think that you're being that role model for a lot of guys out there. So I want to, when we come back, I want to talk about manhood, your definition of it, and you're really – you have a lot of strong opinions about relationships too. So I think our listeners, even though we all lift weights and we want to get big and lose the body fat, this is stuff they can take home with them. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Okay, cool.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Do you feel that you just can't get yourself motivated and disciplined enough to actually do the important things you know you must to reach those goals in life that you always say you want? Have you ever worked long and hard toward your ambitious goals, only to ask yourself, is this all there is once you've achieved them? If you can relate to these challenges, feelings, and emotions, then Skip LaCour's book, It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder, will give you the insight and perspective to finally understand the obstacles that stand in your way and prevent you from living the life you really want. It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder is Skip LaCour's very personal and revealing story about his journey to find the oftentimes elusive feeling of happiness in life that we're all looking for. In this book, the 6-time national champion, drug-free bodybuilder, entrepreneur, and speaker shares with you the most powerful lessons that he's learned about life to make your experience the very best it can be. It's his sincere effort to make good on the promise he made to himself during his darkest days, to make sure that the personal pain that he suffered doing everything he believed was right, and most importantly, exactly what he did to overcome that pain, empowers you with more direction, perspective, insight, love, and passion sooner rather than later. In the social media age, where it seems as though everyone is trying to present their lives to be a lot better than they really are, Skip LaCour makes sure he doesn't play that game, so he provides you with the clarity and direction you've been searching for. Everything that happens in your life can and will serve you in some way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of time until you realize it. It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder by Skip LaCour will help you realize this about your own life. This book could very well be the source of the inspiration and information that you need to finally take control over your life and find your personal path to happiness. To learn more about It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder by Skip LaCour, go to www.itsamatteroftrust.com.
We are back with Zach King Kong, IFBB professional bodybuilder promoting a brand new supplement line, ZKK Research. You can check out their entire line at zkkresearch.com. So Zach, before the break, I really was talking about, you're telling me this idea you have about strength, about manhood, about going for it, right? And you share that every single day. So I'll tell you guys, you want to get a little bit of this, more of this influence, facebook.com/Zach Kahn Fan Club. All right. So on Facebook, facebook.com/Zach Kahn Fan Club. On Twitter, it's at Zach King Kong. And then Instagram, Zach_King_Kahn. All right, and also for a supplement company on Instagram, that's ZKK Research on Instagram too. So a lot of places. I'll provide the links where you listen to this podcast, whether that's on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, or SkipLaCour.com. Right, so make sure that you connect with him so you can get some of this manly type advice. So, what's your general philosophy about manhood, and what inspires you to attack this pussy boy mentality, Zach?
You know, like, the problem is, what I'm finding a lot is that, you know, it's like now we live in a society where men are acting like women, and women are acting like men. Men are becoming emotional wreck, and women are just becoming like men, desensitized and, you know, basically not giving a damn. And, like, you know, the thing is, I'm a great believer in, you know, if you're gonna be acting like a pussy boy, mainly being a bitch, you know what I mean? Acting like a bitch, then you're gonna get treated like one. You know, you have to be a man. You need to be there for your wife or your missus or your girlfriend. But, you know, same way as well is respect her. But she has to give you something to respect. You know,
I do.
It's all give and take. You know,
I do.
And I'm not a chauvinist, male chauvinist. I don't believe a woman should be cooking. I don't believe a man should be doing certain things. Whatever. I think, you know, it's a 50-50 percent partnership. Whether, you know, I haven't got no problem with if I had a wife, she worked and I had to look after the kid. Actually, I'll be happy. You know what I mean?
I do.
So you know, there's nothing wrong with being a man, and you know, it's all okay going to the gym, lifting this up and lifting that up, and then you come home, and you expect your wife to cook your meals for you. Who the fuck do you think you are? You know, uh-huh. You chose this sport. You know what I mean? So if you chose this sport, cook your own meals. You know, and you know, if she's willing to do it for you, yeah. We say thank you for it, because at the end of the day, no woman should be cooking 6 meals for you. You know what I mean? If you're not making a living out of it.
Right, right.
You know, if you're making a living from it, then it's a different story. Then, you know, that's cool. So, you know, whatever you're going to get from that, from bodybuilding, she's going to gain from it as well. But if you're doing it and you are not able to pay the rent, you're not able to pay bills, and you're putting all your money into something what's a dead-end deal, yeah. And basically you need to start thinking what you're really doing with your life. Is that dream what you got as being a pro? And, you know, mainly you should put it on hold for a bit and get your life together before you can start thinking of doing that.
Well, you probably hear this mentality a lot, Zach, is that, hey, I'm following my dreams. They see the nobility in their pursuit of fitness. They're one out of a million. They get rewarded and they get admired for their physiques and their dedication and their discipline. And then when it comes to their relationships, they struggle. And you see this a lot on social media. Yeah. They talk about...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, the thing about it is, ask yourself, who is really winning?
Uh-huh.
How many bodybuilders are really happy? Ask yourself, how many bodybuilders are really happy with their life? How many are in solid relationships? The problem is, people are so easy to put everything on the social media for everybody else to see. This bullshit relationship they're having is so happy. It's like a fairy tale.
Or they're this lonely relationship with themselves, and then they say, well, you know what? I'd rather be alone than be with somebody if they can't understand my passion for fitness. You read that a lot, don't you?
Yeah, like I said to you, you know, I understand that as well. Yeah, I would rather be alone than alone and unhappy than being in a relationship and unhappy, you know?
Right, but the thing about it is, I think it's, you know, expand on what you said, is that they don't understand that there's nothing in it for the other person, yeah. Your pursuit of muscles and eating your meals on time. They don't get that. They think the other person should just understand, right?
Like I said, it's just more about muscle, isn't it? You know what I mean? If you think your muscle's going to attract a certain type of woman you're going to want, then forget about it, because do you honestly think I want a woman who knows who ZKK is, or do I want a woman who knows who Zach is?
Right.
And a lot of women will not get to know who Zach is because they won't get past the point of ZKK, because they see whatever is on social media and basically, they take 1% of what's on social media and think that's you as a person. You know what I mean?
Right.
And really, they don't realize there's 99% of you was not being thrown on social media, you know?
Right. Well, so, Zach, I've got a book coming out, and it's called It's a Matter of Trust. It's Recovering, the Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder, right? And I kind of go into that whole mindset that you talk about, and then how I broke free from it, right? And... But, you know, you said something about how many bodybuilders are really happy. I want you to expand on that, because I don't really think that the people out there know what you're talking about.
This is I'm going to give the people the truth. And listen to me when I tell you this now, okay? It's like this. Expos are meant to be for networking. They're not them places anymore now. Expos are full of testosterone up men, horny women, looking to link each other up for just sex. And they don't give it's like they'd be given a hall pass for the weekend at the Arnold Classic or the Olympia to cheat on their partners. And it's become sad because it's like you will be inundated with inbox messages coming up to an expo saying, oh, are you going to be at the Arnold? Are you going to be at the Olympia? It'd be cool to come and see you. And, you know, it's like, you know, now, like when I go to the expos, it's like you can't say hi to a girl no more without her thinking you want to get into her knickers or, you know, into her panties, because 90 other bodybuilders have tried it on with her. Uh-huh. And I feel sorry for these women, but I feel sorry for the guys as well, because guys just get treated like a piece of meat because you're on a stand signing pictures for women. You have to smile, take pictures with them, and they think, oh, yeah, you're easy catch. So, you know, it's like, I think, you know, it's okay, guys, to have a dick with standards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have to, just because you think this hot girl, unbelievable girl, is asking you out, you honestly don't think she's asked out 20, 30 other bodybuilders before you?
right.
She's working through the pecking order from the top to the bottom. So you've got to ask yourself, these women, they're not stupid. They're clever. You know what I mean?
I do.
And you know, this sport is really messed up. It's like it's the only bodybuilding and the porn industry are exactly the same as each other, where people fuck each other over. Hmm. That's the problem. It's like we're in an industry with bodybuilding, but there is the dark side to that as well.
Yeah. Well, talk about it. So you've hung around top professional bodybuilders all the way up from the amateur ranks. They come to you. I want you to talk more about, are they really happy? And again, I want to talk about the lifestyle and the dedication it takes and what makes them so unhappy. Because number one is, I think the guys coming up, and I know that they're going to really appreciate you giving it to them straight about all the dedication it takes to have those muscles to look that way and all the things in life they don't focus on. So how can they be good at it? Right. And then, they just want those muscles. Right. And then they see social media where it looks so glamorous because that's what the bodybuilder is presenting. They don't understand what you're talking about. What do you mean bodybuilders aren't happy? They seemed happy to me. What would you say to that, Zach?
Listen, you know, bodybuilders, they're not happy. You know, it's like this is the life of a professional bodybuilder. You know, you've got to do so many expos a year. You hardly get time to spend with your family. Your family becomes your strangers. Then you end up getting close to your work colleagues who you're working with. So other athletes who are sponsored by the same company, they become your family. Then before, sooner or later, you know it, people are cheating on their partners. It's that easy. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, the thing is, you got two lives. I'm not saying these people aren't happy with their partners, with their wives and with their marriage and everything. Yeah, they are when they're at home. They're happy. They want to be with their missus and stuff. But the thing is, when you're out there and you're full of you see a sea of women and one looks hotter than the other, fucking asses out, titties out, and, you know, men are visual and stuff like that. And, you know, it takes a very strong-minded man to say no to a woman. You know what I mean?
I do.
And if you do say no to a woman, she's going to think you're gay because everybody else wants to sleep with her and thinking, why don't you want to sleep with me? Because I know what the situation is. It's like, I don't want to be with somebody. I can have sex with whoever I want. I don't want to have sex. That part of my life is gone. I want to be with somebody who I know I've got something there, some feelings and emotions to go that next level. So if I'm not going to get that next level from the person who I meet, then what's the point? I'd rather, you know, do the DIY job at home, less stress.
Well, so is that the phase you are in your life now? You're looking for that real serious relationship? Or are you in a real serious relationship right now?
No, I'm not in no serious relationship. Like I said to you, I'm in the point in my life where I'm sorting my business out.
Okay.
And you know, I'm thinking to myself, once my business is sorted out, if the right person does come into my life, cool, great. But if it does happen, great. But, you know, I'm not going out looking for it because it doesn't happen. And, you know, the problem is, you know, it's so great being with a girl in the industry who is a bikini girl or figure girl. They all look amazing. But you know what? Their heads are messed up. And it's, honest to God, it's like, you know, it's hard to find one with a head level. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Zach, let's talk about that, because I don't think that people understand. I think that is what makes the whole bodybuilding lifestyle attractive, is that you talk about that messed up head. A lot of us come into bodybuilding to regulate our head. Do you know what I mean? That structure, that certainty, feeling great about what we do.
The thing about it is, the discipline of bodybuilding is amazing. The lifestyle of bodybuilding is amazing. And, you know, the days of Arnold bodybuilding looked amazing. That was the lifestyle, what you know, people looked up to, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Being on Venice Beach with their friends, chilling out, looking good all year round. You know, nowadays, everybody doing these extreme diets, low body fat, you know, getting to that shredded shape. And, you know, you can't think straight.
Right.
And, you know, and basically when you're looking at your best, that's when you want to be enjoying your physique at the best. Not when you're off season. It's like when you're off season and you're out of shape, some of these don't even remotely look like bodybuilders. And that's when they expect a woman to find them attractive. It's not going to happen, is it? You know what I mean?
I do.
You know, it's like what I said to you, all you young guys, is these girls look amazing on stage. Yes, on stage, they look amazing. You want to see them when they look what they look like 11 months of the year. They look like water balloons. They look like, honest to God, they don't even look like they're trained, some of them. It's like, they take so many selfie pictures coming up to their show, and they reuse these pictures all year round.
Yeah. And then they have to rebound by the effects of not being in shape, right? And
it's like you go to expos and you think to yourself, oh my God, she looks so hot on Instagram, and now she looks like totally different.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, tell me what's the equivalent in men in bodybuilding too? You know, you talked a lot about bodybuilders not being happy. You talked about, you know, a lot of the fitness women, how you described them, they're messed up in the head. I mean, do men get a pass on that? I mean, what's the men's challenge, or if they have one?
Like I said, the problem with men is it's like this, and they can't be happy with one woman. There is a bodybuilder I need to meet out there who is happy with his wife. You know what I mean? I don't think I've met one.
That are competing, right?
I probably have met a couple, but I'm saying, you know, it's very rare in this sport because the problem is, you know, like I said to you, is when everything's thrown in front of your face, a lot of men are weak and... when you're high on test, these guys are high on test, whatever, the sex drive is over the roof, you know, you're honestly telling me they're going to think twice, some of them? No, they're not, you know what I mean?
Well, let me have you entertain this. Do you think that someone who is really ready and emotionally ready for a close, intimate relationship, why would that lifestyle... where you have no calories, no carbohydrates, you're not in a mood to connect with people, you spend so much time doing that for the loneliness and isolation of the bodybuilding lifestyle, right? To win that plastic trophy or whatever it is. I mean, it's almost like they're not equipped for relationships anyway. So I think the problem sometimes starts even before, you know, they have the women. Does that make sense? It's like, regardless of their body, they're not equipped for that emotional intimacy anyway.
No, they're not, because they don't know how to even control themselves. You know, they're not right in their own head, because they can't control low-calorie diets. They can't, you know, their mood swings are all over the place, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's basically, you need to find a diet what works with you or what you feel happy with and you get the right balance with. It's no point being on a diet where you are killing yourself and basically you cannot function, you know?
Well, is that going to compromise what it takes to get on stage in the best shape to win the contest, in your opinion?
Like I said, people say to me, you have to suffer to win a show. Well, a lot of people are suffering and they're not winning shows.
Uh-huh.
And you know, so what is suffering? What is the purpose of suffering? The purpose is do they mean suffering is eating boiled chicken, bland, you know, everything, no seasoning on it, stuff like this, you know, plain as it can be? Is that suffering to them? Is that dieting to them? To me, it's not dieting. To me, dieting can mean anything. Dieting is having your calorie deficiency, you know what I mean?
Right,
so basically, if one person is eating chicken breast and potato four times a day, and if one person is normally having pizza four times a day and he decides that, you know what, I'm going to have three pizzas and have one chicken breast meal with potatoes, that's his way of dieting. Everybody's different. And dieting doesn't mean that you have to eat what's in a, or like somebody else. You just have to, it's all about calories, like you said.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And you have to work out, you know, what works for you. And you can't copy what all the top pros do and expect to look like a pro.
Right, right.
And a lot of people don't realize is that who these people they call gurus, and they're working with the most elite athletes anyway, so they got a higher chance they're going to succeed with that athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will only call somebody a guru is if they took somebody from an amateur stage and said, look, here's that, you know, that kid there as a junior, I'm going to take him under my wing and he's going to be Mr. Olympia in 10 years. That's who I call a guru.
Right.
Who's
right.
Got eye for somebody and can take him through the ranks all the way up to the top. I don't call somebody a guru who just takes an athlete with great potential and then basically within 2 years he's become Mr. Olympia, because that guy had the potential anyway. It doesn't matter who he worked with. He would have been Mr. Olympia sooner or later. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, I do. I do. Yeah. Well, you know, we painted this dark picture of bodybuilding and the personalities and bodybuilding and the whole lifestyle, right, Zach? But it's obviously... What's the bright side of it? I mean, what advice, if you had a little brother who was 18 years old and he wanted to do this lifestyle, how would you have him manage it so he can get the best things out of bodybuilding at the same time, live a more productive life?
You know, bodybuilding is great. It's something, you know, if you're getting paid for something you enjoy doing and get to travel the world for something you enjoy doing, great. If you're a single guy and you're out there, I mean, you got nothing holding you back at home. Bodybuilding is a great place to meet different people. You know what I mean?
I do.
And you're going to meet some of the most amazing people and personalities. Just because there's a dark side to it, obviously there's a nice side to it. There's a lot of good people in the sport who are willing to help you, willing to put you in the right direction. You know what I mean? And obviously, there's people out there who can motivate you to do better. And the more people you talk to and the more people you meet, you get a better picture of and better ideas. And, you know, you always exchange ideas. And the more you talk to people, you talk to as many people as possible. Don't just listen to one person. You know, get bits of people and think, you know, okay, I'm going to try this out. Yes, it worked. Or this didn't work, so I disregard that, but I'll keep that from this person. Next person, oh, cool. That worked, but this didn't work, so I'll keep that from that person. And then you start building your own blueprint up, you know?
Uh-huh.
And if it's something, you know, plus you get to see the world. I would have never seen some of the places where I've seen, like Brazil, Australia, you know what I mean, Dubai, you know, Vegas, without, if it wasn't for bodybuilding, you know, it's like, it's a superstar lifestyle, you know what I mean?
And so tell me, what's the future like? Do you have an expiration date and then you're going on to the next phase of your life? What's in your future? How do you see this?
Like I said, my future is always going to be taken one step at a time. You know, I can't say what's going to happen in 1 year or 6 months or whatever. I just know that I'm alive now. And, you know, thank God I'm alive and I'm healthy still. And, you know, while I'm healthy, I can do a lot of things and I will keep doing them until the point what comes in my life where it says, you know what, this game is over for me now. The next chapter of my life is going to come in. But until then, you never know. There's no expiration date on anything. You can't really put a date on anything. If you're putting a date on something, then you're just putting unwanted pressure on yourself, what you don't need.
Okay, all right.
So life is a pressure anyway, you know what I mean, from everybody and every angle. So it's no point putting more pressure on yourself, you know what I mean?
I do.
You're going to get pressure from people to say, oh, is my contract going to get renewed next year? Or am I going to win the show? I need to place top three. I need to work. I need to earn money and then stuff like this. You know, everything. And life is a pressure. And the thing about it is, it's like people say money can't buy you happiness, but it certainly can't make you sad.
I did read that. That was a real good point. Do you think that a lot of people have a misunderstanding of money and what it can do for them, especially in bodybuilding and fitness?
Like I say, people who say, like, you know, money is not everything, is basically people who haven't had a lot of money in their life.
Right.
Because I can tell you one thing, coming from nowhere to coming to where I am now, if it wasn't for money, I swear to God, I wouldn't be where I'm sat in my own house. You know what I mean?
I do.
And I would have never dreamed of having my own place and my own car and my own gym. People might think I've changed. Obviously, nobody stays the same in life, innit? We all get hurt. We all get lessons taught. And you know what? And if people say you've changed, as long as you're not an asshole, then you're fine. You know what I mean? So as long as you're not putting people down and looking after your own business and being loyal to your family and friends, it doesn't matter what anybody else said. People are always going to talk shit. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, another break here, Zach. And when we come back, I want to come back about what I really think put you on the map so these guys can take it home. There's a lot of people talking about what's real and what's a character. And this whole generation of what's substance and what's just an act. And I see a lot of people try to balance the two when they see someone who is popular and they want to discredit them because they're not bringing any value to the table, but yet they're popular. And I want to get your idea on that because I see you as a man who's accomplished a lot as a bodybuilder, but your persona has really bolstered that too. So you're the combination of both of those. So I want to really talk about that, and we'll be right back.
Okay, cool.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Are you interested in one-on-one coaching with Skip LaCour, but you aren't quite sure it's a good fit for you? That's totally understandable, unless you've had one-on-one coaching in the past or have talked to someone in-depth who's had a great experience with coaching. It can be a real challenge to appreciate its full power and recognize the positive impact it will have on your life. You can get all of your questions about coaching answered by talking to Skip LaCour directly on the phone. Schedule a free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour directly about your current situation, the goals you want to achieve, and the challenges you believe are standing in your way. Skip works exclusively with men who are the most committed to their success. He'll gladly take the time to explain all of the benefits of his one-on-one coaching programs and determine if the two of you would be a good match moving forward into such a close, consistent, and intense working relationship. Schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching right now by going to www.skiplacourcoaching.com/talk. Once again, that website address to schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching is www.skiplacourcoaching.com/talk.
We are back with IFBB professional bodybuilder Zach King Khan. And Zach, before the break, I was talking about all these YouTube stars, these fitness stars. In my last podcast, I talked with a young gentleman. His name is Boston Lloyd. Do you know who Boston Lloyd is, by the way?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. Well, he's just a young kid. He's very open about his steroid use. He's made videos. And this guy just has massive, massive popularity. Out of all these interview podcasts, I mean, in just a couple of days, he had more downloads than all of my other 11 podcasts combined. And, you know, I really think the reason why he's so popular is because he's a lot like you. He's just raw. He's just on it. Whether you like it or not, he could care less. And I think that it just strikes a chord in people because they want to be more like that. I know I want to be more like that, right? I think that's what the draw is. And it started this debate on the internet, on my Facebook page, that we're in this generation of nothingness. And in the podcast before, I talked with Mr. Olympia, John Hansen, and he referred to an article where somebody wrote how times in bodybuilding have really gone down because he went to the Arnold Classic. And those, for those of you who don't know, it's this international expo where people come from all over the world to Columbus, Ohio, to see their bodybuilding stars, the top most elite bodybuilders. And the most popular attractions were the YouTube stars, like the Hodge twins, like Matt Ogus, like C.T. Fletcher. And they had fans wrapped around the whole place waiting to talk to them. Yet the legendary bodybuilders, and he used Ed Cornia as an example, their line, he didn't have a line. Nobody wanted to talk to him. And talk about what a shame that was. And so no one could say that about you because you're such an accomplished bodybuilder. You're not, there's some definite substance in the sport of bodybuilding. You've accomplished a lot, that elite IFBB status. Yet at the same time, you have that perfect mix because you do have that star quality, that character appeal, that charisma, that little something-something that draws people to you. And I know that we talked at an expo a few years ago, and you talked about marketing yourself. What can you share your secrets to for people out there so they won't discount how much your personality really matters and sit back and complain about not being noticed?
Like I say, you know, me personally, I never knew that being honest was going to be popular. And it was just one of them things. It was who I was. And I didn't give a damn about what people thought about me. Because I've heard all the crap before about me. You know, once you are comfortable with your own shell, the way you look and where you are, you know, I know I'm not the best looking guy in the world. You know what I mean? I'm not. There's a lot of good looking guys. But you know what? The personality is bland as fuck. Just by talking to them for 2 minutes, you're going to be bored.
Right.
And the difference is, it's like, if you know, if you have real life experience and real life expectation, and you can share that with people, and then obviously, why not? And you know, and if people want to take it in the wrong way, then they need to man the fuck up, don't they? Simple as, you know, it's like, you know, I don't sugarcoat anything, and my name is Willy Wonka, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I just think that people just need to realize is like, don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to copy anybody else. Be you. Don't imitate anybody else. Be an original. You are who you are. Play with your pluses, you know, your positives, and build your own confidence up. You know, if somebody helps, if watching somebody helps you bring out your persona, it's a certain way you are going to be, great. You know what I mean?
I do.
And if that's what helps you to be positive and helps you to be confident, great. Anything what helps you to be comfortable in your own self, that's a good thing. And, you know, like I said, like you just said now, like the YouTube stars, queues were massive and people were hanging around them. Yeah, because kids nowadays are not idiots, and they don't want to hear bullshit advice. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And but the problem is, there's a fine line between telling the truth, and there's a fine line between being responsible as well. I don't mind people telling the truth, but you know, if people started talking about the pharmaceutical side of stuff, that's somewhere where I couldn't really advise anybody on, because number one, I'm not a doctor. Number two, I don't know what your background is. So, but number three, by imitating somebody off YouTube, what they're taking could be very risky for you. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Just because somebody else is doing it doesn't mean that's going to be right for you. You have to take everything into consideration. You know, it's like the human body is strange. There's some people who will smoke cigarettes for all their life and they'll be fine on smoking a pack of 100 cigarettes a day. Then there's going to be somebody who will take two drags of a fag and maybe in a couple of years they will be diagnosed with cancer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The human body is strange. Everybody's created differently, and, you know, and it's all great being real and true and giving the people what they want to hear. But the problem is, the truth is, a lot of people can't handle the truth.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And it's not worth giving them the truth, because it just takes one irresponsible person to do something stupid, and that can mess up everybody and give the sport an even worse name. We've seen it before in newspaper. Oh, my son watched a bodybuilding video and started taking anabolics, and now he's dead. You know what I mean?
Right.
Number one, they don't tell you this guy was clubbing every weekend and was high on cocaine. You know what I mean? They don't tell you other recreational drugs he was on. They only tell you he had muscles, so he was taking anabolics, so it gives bodybuilding a bad name straight away. They want a finger to point, and they want to point at bodybuilding. And you know, we don't want to give the media ammunition to do this, because we are all smart enough and all wise enough now to know better and do research and know exactly what people are taking. You know, the thing is, what is available to one person is available to another person. There is no secret formulation out there what the top pros are taking compared to the amateurs, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's what you guys want to believe. But the truth is that's not how it is at all. You know what I mean? It's just people talking crap over the internet. Half of these people have got no credential. And people are listening to these idiots. And what can you say? You know, but you know, everybody has got their own brain. Nobody's forcing them.
Yeah, I want to back up. Somebody, I want to back up to something you talked about before, your advice about the drug use, and you talked about people aren't stupid. The people who are lining up for those YouTube stars, they see something in those people that is drawn to them, right? I think that the bodybuilders who win these trophies and then they just lock themselves away and they're not getting that type of reaction. People aren't following them. They're not getting what they think they should get out of bodybuilding. They see these YouTube stars. And I don't think they realize that regardless of what you think people should want, there's a reason why the people are lining up to see those YouTube stars, whether you agree with it or not. Because, and it's not because people are stupid. It's because there's something about them that if you did that too, they're giving those people something that they want that you're not giving them. And that's, I think, with you. You're giving people what they want.
You got to remember one thing is this. People aren't stupid. You're right. And, you know, but the thing about it is what people have to remember is when you're in a certain position, you are not allowed to talk about certain things. Number one, because they're under contract by certain companies. Yes?
Uh-huh.
So you have to be careful, yeah? And how you speak and approach this context and subjects. So, you know, some people are not under contract and they can talk and say what they want, so people respect their honesty, saying, wow, that's refreshing. This guy's coming out with everything I was always wondering. This guy's coming out with everything what I always thought about. This guy's telling me the truth, what I always thought was the truth. You know?
Right.
These guys are giving them the answers, and people can relate to these guys. And that's what it's all about. You wouldn't stand in a queue and wait for somebody if you didn't relate to that person.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're all waiting for these certain people because they can relate to that person to say, wow, this person's given me the answer to what I always wanted. I always knew this, but nobody would say anything. Nobody would talk about it.
Right. Hey, Zach, I can't let you go. I know we've talked about character. We've talked about making the most out of your abilities. We talked about bodybuilding and training and things like that. But there's something that, you know, you've alluded to a couple of times, and I don't want to let you go without getting some advice for the guys out there. And that's that it seems like you do incredibly well with the ladies, right? And I have this one website about confidence, about leadership, and how that is such an attractive quality, not just to women, but to men too. It's manformation.com, right? And I think, and I try to teach what you're all about and why that's so attractive, where, you know what it's like, people go, wow, how does Zach do it? Well, it must be because of the muscles. And I think what you said is so true. You cannot have these muscles, and you would do just as well with women. They don't understand how it works, right? They don't. And so what advice can you give them, because they're trying to conquer that area of their life?
Like I said to you, trust me, a woman would rather go for a Zach who's 150 pounds than a Zach Khan who's 300 pounds. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like, number one thing, guys my size look intimidating, and guys with a six-pack and a chiseled chest and stuff like that look more marketable and more pleasing to 70% of the women. You know what I mean? I only appeal to maybe 10% of the women on the market. And what's saying that as well is, a lot of women will always say that, oh, I don't like muscle. Trust me, you know, once a woman's had steak, she won't go back to eating chicken breast again. You know, it's like I said to you, it's all about how you talk to women. And there's a difference between being cocky and arrogant. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, I do.
And being confident. So you got to be confident and don't cross that line where you're cocky and arrogant, because nobody likes that. You know what I mean? And be yourself, and don't expect anything from a woman what you can't expect to do yourself. You know, the only way you're gonna succeed is if you're gonna realize one thing, is that you want a woman who can't offer you something in your life what you haven't got yourself. You know. Uh-huh. If there's nothing new she can offer you, then obviously that woman is not for you then.
Right.
You want something to bring something new into your life, you know? And the problem is that most of these women, they can't bring nothing new in, because it's all about like, shaking their ass on Instagram, posing pictures of their ass every 2 days and just getting likes off guys, and they can't even get a good morning message. You know what I mean?
Would you recommend guys for that serious relationship? Do you think that the nature of fitness alone and the structure that it takes, it's going to be challenging them to have that? Or do you see a way to make them both work together?
Like I said to you, you know, you can't disregard anything, you know, because right. Everybody's different.
Sure,
you know, just
sure.
Like all bodybuilders are the same. No, they're not, you know. But like I said to you, yeah, a lot do think the same way, but not everybody's the same. You know, you could meet a girl who's cool as you, and you can get on with her, and she's loyal, and she's not willing to play games. The problem is we're in a society where we got too much choice. We know that if we come out of one relationship, it's so easy to get into another relationship.
Yeah.
Instead of making that relationship work, we are so easily to think, screw that, she's being a bitch or he's being an arsehole. I can get somebody better than him. You know, that's
yeah,
the problem.
Yeah.
Nobody's willing to work for a relationship and fight for a relationship anymore. It seems like they're so easy to quit because they know that they got 50 other guys liking their pictures, ready to step in that guy's position. And the same with the girls, you know. It's just sad, really.
But, yeah. Well, you know, with that reality, you kind of said you aren't thinking too far ahead, but do you see yourself one day being married and having children? Is that something that you want? Or are you going to decide on that later?
You know, when I was younger, I used to think, wow, marriage, I would be married by my age now. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And obviously I'm not. And honestly, you know, well, never say never, but I cannot see myself getting married because I just see the way women are. And it just seems like everybody is having a relationship with the social media. You know, me personally, if I woke up in the morning and first thing my girlfriend did was update her newsfeed on Instagram or on Twitter, I would kick her out of bed, kick her out of the house. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's like I can understand there's a reason for social media. That's the part where, you know, if that's what you have to do to make money, cool. But you have to also remember that if you got a family, you have to put them first. And I think that the problem is people don't know when to turn their phones off and let go of the social, you know, let go of this mobile phone, when to turn it off and when to put it away, because it's your mobile phone was messing up a lot of relationships. Because when you're at home, you'll have your phone in your hand texting away while you're talking to your missus, or you'll be in a restaurant having a meal, but you'll be on the phone doing stuff.
Yeah,
it's like the best thing you can learn to do is, if you're going to have quality time with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, learn to switch your phone off and put it on mute or something, and have some rules where it's your time only. Figure about what's going on Facebook and what other people are doing. Stop being interested in other people's lives. Be interested in your life.
Wow.
And, you know, you don't need to flaunt it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram for people to be happy for you. As long as you are happy, that's the main thing.
Wow, I tell you, that's really powerful. That's really insightful, Zach. I'll tell you, it's a lot more refreshing why a guy like you is successful in living life that you live right now, why people are drawn to you. And it's a lot more than sets, reps, and diet, huh?
Like I said to you, you know, bodybuilding is amazing and has gotten me so far in my life, and I'm always grateful for it. It has given me discipline. But you know what? The problem is, a lot of people are losing in touch of reality. It's sad because we are getting kids being brought up in a generation where they don't even know how to speak properly now. You know, because everything is text talk and everything like that. And I'm bad for it as well. Like sometimes I'll be writing an email or something, and I'm doing it in quick shorthand. And I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing? You know?
Uh-huh.
And it's like we're so used to it now. It's like it's becoming stupid. You know what I mean? Everything, we live in a fast society. Everything is fast. Fast food, fast cars, fast women. Everything is fast, you know? Life has become about fast food, fast cars, fast women. Nobody wants to sit down and enjoy what they got and what they've accomplished and what they've achieved. Instead, they're looking at what they haven't got and what other people have got, you know?
Right.
Sit down for a second and take a good breath in and think about what you've done, what you've accomplished in your life, and be happy. And don't compare yourself to other people. Your time will come. Never give up is my philosophy. And as long as you be true to yourself, that's the only thing you can do. And, you know, everything will go right for you guys.
That's some awesome advice. Far beyond the sets, reps, and diet. Be you. Be real. Be true. Be loyal. Be motivated. Be hated, even. Those are the powerful words of Zach King Kong. Check out his website at zachkingkong.net. Also his supplement line at ZKK or ZKKResearch.com. IFBB professional bodybuilder and the 2009 British champion, Zach Collin. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your life philosophy with us and sharing your story. For those of you who want to get this type of connection with Zach every single day, go to facebook.com/ZachConFanClub. That's facebook.com/ZachConFanClub. On Twitter, he's Zach King Con. Zach King Con. And then on Instagram, it's Zach_King_Con. Again, thank you so much for spending the time. I really know that people are going to be drawn to you. I hope I've opened you up to a whole new audience so they can get some of this real raw authenticity.
Andrew, I'm grateful for your time, Skipper. So it's been an awesome interview, and I wish you all the best in the future as well. So,
I wish you all the best with your. I guess I should ask you this before we go. Do you plan on competing anymore?
Well, yes, I'll be competing this year.
Okay.
Looking to compete in Arnold Classic Madrid.
Okay. All right. So we're going to be looking for you there. Also, you have your own bodybuilding show. That's.
It's ZKK Classic, and that's in the UK.
Okay.
It's an amateur show. And it's the UKBB, the UKBFF British Finals qualifier. So it's for any British athlete wanting to compete in the British Nationals.
Right. And I wish you the best of luck with ZKK Research, your supplement line. They can go again to ZKKResearch.com. For Zach King Kong, I am Skip LaCour. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com, skip@skiplacour.com. Tell me what you learned from Zach Kong. Train hard and think big.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. This bodybuilding and fitness podcast is brought to you by Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition, the highest quality and most effective bodybuilding supplements and sports nutrition products on the market. Supreme. Clean. Mass Machine Nutrition. Check out the entire line at www.massmachinenutrition.com. Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition is also available at the world's number one online supplement store, bodybuilding.com.